Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Welcome to Strange Familiar's Christmas special with Monster Fuzz. You'll hear them in a bit. But right now, I'm in pandemonium with Chad. You know what happened to me last night, Chad?
What happened to you last night?
I was in the office editing this week's episode, and I heard this mysterious knock on the window.
A mysterious knock.
And then I heard another mysterious knock on the other side of my house. And I ran outside, thinking I'd see a Belsnickel. And who did I find but, what's the name?
Das Winter Holzfäller.
Is that the Winter Woodsman?
The Winter Woodsman in German. The Winter Holzfäller.
Chad has come up with a new
tradition,
folkloric figure for,
yep.
For our legends. So,
I guess we'll have to tell that story now, won't we?
I kind of figured it had to be you. And I ran outside. Is there a Belsnickel knocking on my house? And Chad comes around the other side with his axe.
Yes. A Christmas axe-wielding murderer. Well, the funny thing is, you had no idea I was coming.
No.
You had no idea at all.
I mean, no.
Allison did. I did warn Allison because I didn't want her to be terrified.
When I heard the knock on one window and then on the other, though, I thought, oh, somebody's going around the house. I said, it's got to be Chad. Well, we are in pandemonium. We're doing our solstice walk, which, if there's anything to report, we will do another episode on that. But figured while we're here, we'll do the intro to this episode with Monster Fuzz. Now, Chad wasn't on with Monster Fuzz, and Allison isn't here for the intro, so that's that.
Yeah. But, yeah. I almost was there.
Yeah.
I was actually literally waiting for you to be done with Monster Fuzz before I showed up. Though I think it would have been funny if I would have interrupted.
That would actually have been pretty good.
But yeah. I didn't want to do that to you.
All right, so let's go ahead and get to our Christmas chat with Monster Fuzz, and we'll be back after that.
Anyway, guys, we're here. It's Christmas. How are we all feeling? We all doing good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm doing well.
Yeah.
We've got a Christmas Allison here for the first time. Welcome, Allison, to the party.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here.
Is this the first time a woman's been on Monster Fuzz?
Is it the first time, Eamon?
Shakira's been a lot there.
Well, yeah, obviously, yeah. My wife tends to come on from time to time. But, yeah, aside from Shakira, Allison, yeah, you might be the first lady.
Yeah,
I hope this doesn't turn off the audience.
Oh, I want.
Our machismo audience. They're going to hate this.
No, we've had complaints. We have had people say, you guys should get on more girl guests. It's quite they're quite rare in the high strangeness community, dare I say.
And yeah, they're certainly a cryptid of their own.
The rare elusive female. Tim, is there any, do you not have you, is there any podcasters of female hosts in high strangeness space?
Yeah, there's
the John Keel lady.
Shannon from Into the Fray. Yeah, Barbara from 6 Degrees of John Keel, and Barbara's daughter as well. And they host
and the
it
Newkirks.
Together. Yeah, yeah, Dana Newkirk. The Newkirks just started their podcast. Yeah, so they're there. They're definitely in the minority, but they're there.
Right, so we need to go and find those guys out then and do a collab. So,
and I immediately apologize for anyone I forgot. I know I didn't list people, so I'm sorry.
That's one of those questions, isn't it, where you're like,
you
almost
name all your friends. Thank everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
It is literally. So today, for everyone listening, I suppose, we're just going to talk a little bit about Christmas in general and have a little bit of a chit chat, right? And then we also have a little bit on the Icelandic Christmas traditions. Tim, are you familiar with these? Did you heard anything about them?
A few of them, just in passing. You know, people tend to share like folklore memes with me and stuff, you know. So,
Alison, how's about yourself? Had you been ever heard of them?
Anything beyond the sugar cubes, I'm pretty much lost with Icelandic culture.
Yeah, yeah. They have that really smelly fish. What's that called, Eamon? Can you remember
All I know is I've seen loads of videos on YouTube of people trying to eat the smelly fish and then having really adverse reactions to it and chuckling.
Like lutefisk?
Is that it? Or is it short?
That's
not
like
a
that's the American version of it, right? That's like the Midwestern Norwegian version of the smelly fish. Yeah, I mean, every culture has their smelly fish, don't they? I mean,
that's true. Yeah, yeah. Probably over here, it's like smoked. Probably haddock is quite smelly. So yeah, guys, we've got a couple of questions here that I sort of went through the archives to find here about Christmas. So I'm curious to hear the Renner's answers to these. One of the ones that people always ask us is Christmas movies. What are your favorites?
Well, there's one movie we watch every Christmas. Is it technically a Christmas movie, Allison?
I don't think it's technically a Christmas movie, but it just happens to incidentally happen during Christmas, and so we watch it in lieu of like insipid Christmas movies.
Right. Is it Die Hard?
No.
I've never seen Die Hard.
Oh, wow, Tim, my man.
Are you sure you've never seen that?
I'm
of the right age to have seen it just accidentally.
I've never seen Die Hard.
It's a good Christmas film. It is a good Christmas film. It's enjoyable. Yeah.
So we watched The Royal Tenenbaums because it.
Yes.
There's the Snoopy Christmas music in the background, and there's a lot of snow. And
I haven't seen that Royal Tenenbaums. I don't think.
Yeah. Now that you mention it, it does have a Christmassy feel. I never put that together, but that's the Wes Anderson one, right?
Yeah.
I always get it confused because there's Wes Anderson, and then there's the other Wes Anderson who makes like Resident Evil. Surely he didn't make that really auteur kind of movie. And then I remember why I'm getting confused.
Like if the blood's on a monochromatic chartreuse outfit, then maybe that's like a mashup of the two of them.
True.
So that's that one answered. Mm-hmm. Here's one that is a kind of a fun one.
Well, you guys didn't answer.
Well, our listeners know, but for me, it's Die Hard. Such a lad answer to say, oh, Die Hard's my favorite, but it kind of is. Like,
I got a real soft spot for Batman Returns, the Tim Burton one, because that's very Christmassy. Doesn't the penguin rigs a Christmas tree with bats and makes the Christmas queen fall to her death or something? So that's the
is
Christmas
that the prince one? The one where Prince
no,
is
that's the
soundtrack.
First one. That's the original Batman, and then the second one is the one with Danny DeVito and Michelle Pfeiffer in it as Catwoman and the Penguin.
And who's the Batman in that?
Michael Keaton again.
Michael Keaton again. Okay.
Yeah, but it's all snowy and Christmas time, and it's got a nice little Christmas vibe to it.
Now, as far as proper Christmas movies, I will watch almost any version of the Christmas Carol. I love that story.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, have you ever done anything with that on Strange Familiars or anything? Retold it or anything? No.
That's an interesting idea, though.
Yeah, this That was because I know when we did the Edgar Allan Poe, the Crawl thing, people really enjoyed it. And The Raven, is it? What's the name of it? Is it The Raven or The Crow?
Edgar Allan Poe's The Crow.
Yeah. That's like Wes
James,
Brandon Lee.
James O'Byers, The Raven.
That was really fun and people enjoyed it. So we should probably do something like that again. And I was thinking something Christmassy might be cool. There was a few, but they were very wordy, do you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And you'd kind of want to give them a good run up. What, guys, do you have one? See, this is going to be fun to ask you because you have the family moments. Maybe some of these might be before those, but do you have any odd Christmas moments, anything bizarre from Christmas, anything that kind of threw a spanner in the works, so to say?
Not besides like your average childhood illness, you know, like the Christmas is spent with one person in the bathroom or something. Other than that, I can't think of.
There was I was broken into on Christmas day and night. My house was broken into. That was pretty crazy. So that was for me one that stood out as like I was only like probably 8 or 9, and it was a Christmas where, you know, when you're that age, you can't even contain yourself. So you're up at like 2 or 3 in the morning or something. Like, and me and my brother shared a room. And when I look back, I was actually walking up by these guys trying to get into the house. And I stepped out, it was pitch black, walked out onto my landing. And next thing I hear, glass shatter downstairs. And next thing, my dad runs past me in his boxers with a pickaxe handle.
Oh my goodness.
And he runs.
Flannel man.
Yeah, he's like flannel man. Yeah. So he runs down. He runs straight out the front door. We lived kind of in town almost. He runs down the road after them. And he comes back eventually. But it just
covered
so happened.
In blood.
Yeah. Like, take care of that. But it just so happened that those guys had actually assaulted a police officer the same night. And we actually had policemen and stuff in the house on Christmas Day. So that was a fairly bizarre Christmas moment for me. I think it's one that I'll never forget, really, you know.
As you're older, you must be thinking, like, we were going to get some kick-ass presents if people were willing to break in and get them.
Oh, true. My Game Boy Color was downstairs. And to be honest, if they had tried to take that off me, I was going to punch him at 9 years old. I would have been attacking him.
I remember being 6 or 7. And everyone in primary school, everyone was like, oh, what are you getting from Santa? And everyone was getting like the hoverboards from Back to the Future, because we didn't realize you couldn't just ask for anything, because everyone was, you know, Christmas was this magical time. And I was like, So I gave him my usual Santa letter with, I want a Game Boy, blah, blah, blah. But in my mind, I was like, all right, Santa, that's just all bullshit. Never mind that letter. I want spider powers like Peter Parker. So I believed that I would just wake up on Christmas morning and have the proportionate powers of a spider for like a 4 foot high child. And so the first thing I did when I got up,
I love the story.
Is I just jumped at the wall with my like fingers in that kind of curled spider pose, fully expecting to stick to the wall. And I can still remember the moment of realization where my hand hit the wall and I expected to just, you know, like go into like just freeze there and I'd be on the wall, and I just kept moving and my head bounced off the wall, fell back onto my bed and broke one of the wooden lats in it. And I remember rolling off and just going, God, thank God I sent that letter. This could have been a really disappointing Christmas at like 6 or 7 years old. So yeah, no whipping around for me that Christmas.
I remember I was about 5 years old and knew the Spider-Man. Spider-Man was my favorite. And I don't remember if I let the spider bite me or if I was messing around with the spider I got bit. And I remember I went to my mom. I was like, am I going to get spider powers now? And she was like, what are you doing? Don't let spiders bite you.
Yeah, you definitely don't want
all
that.
These children with brown recluse spider bites that are infected and need to be amputated.
This was a jumping spider, so it hurt, but it was fine.
It's funny at that age, like I, because obviously if you like Spider-Man, then you're probably gonna like X-Men as well, you know. And I remember as I was kind of hitting puberty, I was like, this is usually when the X-Men his powers come out. So any day now, something really cool is going to happen to me, and I'm going to have, like, you know, I don't know. Knowing me, I'd have some sort of really rubbish power. Like, I can turn off a microwave from a distance, but that's it.
That'd be a good one. So we're talking about Santa. How old were you when you found out that he was not really there?
Oh, Allison's got a good story about this.
All right.
So I come from a very non-religious family, and my mother did not like the fact that she wasn't getting credit for all the money she was spending.
Right, okay.
So I remember walking through the mall with her, and my sister's 2 years younger than me, and I was about 8 years old, and she turns to me and she says, "So you don't believe in Santa Claus anymore, do you?" And I was like, "Yeah, actually, right as of this moment, I guess I don't." She said, "Keep it secret for a little while because your sister's younger than you." And I was like, "You could have kept it secret for me for like a couple more years too." But she wanted the credit. She did like the fact that this like lie was being given all the credit.
I can see, like, I can see that trend of thought. Like, I think in a sense, you know, Christmas is a time where, you know, a lot of parents are like breaking their back to deliver on a child's needs, you know, and mm-hmm. really trying to put in the work and say, you know, especially nowadays, you know, when people are wanting like a PS5 or like an e-scooter that's like €800 or some crazy shit, then I kind of, in a way, I get it in a sense. And in another sense, it's actually very selfless of parents to say for those years and go, yeah, you know, there's Santa, enjoy it, whatever, it's great. But I do also feel like it's probably, if you're going to go down the like atheist or agnostic path, it's probably a better way to just say straight up, like, yeah, your parent is doing this. But again, it's tough. You don't want your kids knowing too young. I knew from a very young age, much like yourself, Allison, and I kind of felt like it ruined it a little bit for me. Do you know?
Yeah. It felt like just disappointing to know that, like, that people are lying to you, or that there's like less magical things in the world than what you had hoped. And then you're thinking, well, if there's this vast conspiracy that they tell children every year and it's sanctioned, how many more conspiracies are there?
Yeah, absolutely.
I had a similar thing, man, because we start off here. The first one you get is the tooth fairy. So you believe in that. And then your parents pretty early on are like, yeah, there's no one giving you euros for, you know, your baby teeth or whatever.
Which is
then
a we have the creepy Easter concept bunny. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of scary. And then they made that horror movie about it, which wasn't great. But obviously, if you saw it at a young age, would probably upend you. And then there was the Easter bunny. So he gives you the chocolate egg. You're a little bit older when you're like, oh, okay, that's bogus as well. And then Santa Claus is the last one. And I remember after figuring out that Santa Claus wasn't real, I'm going to be like, I was pretty sure, I was like 2 or 3 years, they're just going to be like, that whole God thing we've been saying to you, we were just saying that to keep you good. There's nothing. There's an abyss, a void. Just get the job and shut up.
So for me, I was... I'm probably in second grade. So what's that? Seven.
Yeah. Okay, so you were young too then.
But I was the youngest of six kids.
Ah, right.
Yeah.
And the way it came to me was one of my brothers just said, oh, he still believes in Santa Claus.
Yeah, and it's make fun of you, kind of.
I was smart enough to figure out, like, well, wait a minute. Like, that means other people don't. But I still hung on to it because I wanted to believe, right?
Yeah.
So I kind of hung on to it for that year and maybe the year after. But
that's why we have the podcast we do, Tim. You know, we want to believe. Yeah. That's why we're here.
There you go.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Like it's funny though. My cousin ruined it on me. He just came to me like as soon as he knew. He was about 3 years older than me. He was like, yeah, see you later. This is the story. And I think I brought my brother in on it as well, because I kind of felt outraged at the whole thing that I was like, these parents are keeping it secret from us and blah, blah, blah. So I think I brought him in probably way too young on it as well. But a funny one.
What about Christmas presents? Did you guys like try to sneak and find the Christmas presents before your parents gave them to you?
Yeah. So as soon as I found out, so I remember it's hilarious because it's just the way that my mom and dad's room was laid out was like they had, you know, the bed was there and above the bed was these kind of like wardrobes, I suppose you could say, that were up over it by quite a height, actually. They were kind of a unit that was built into the wall. And so I used to climb up into that like a little spider monkey getting up into it. And I used to like kind of root around, and every year I found the presents like, and I knew. And then what I do sometimes is I bring my brother in. I'd be like, look, this is what we're getting. Here's your stuff. Here's my stuff. And we'd be both looking at it going, oh, nice. Yeah, cool. I think maybe a couple of years my dad got wise to it, maybe, and started to move things. But my friends like that had kids, maybe that are a little bit older than me, they used to always keep their Christmas presents in a friend's house so that the kids couldn't find them, which I think is probably wiser.
Makes sense.
How's about you guys? Did you have any luck finding presents?
My brothers, my one brother and my sister, all every year, and they'd be like, we know where mom and dad keep it. You want to know what you got? And I was actually always like, no, I'm good with the surprise. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they were like, oh, I'm going to tell you. And I'm like, oh, come on. Like, you know, hold my ears and go, no, you know. But I wasn't too into that. I think I was okay. Again, it was part of the magic for me. You know, I'll just wait and have the surprise.
Mm. Yeah, I can get that. No, yeah, same. I don't think I ever went looking for presents. But I did one year get up at like 2 a.m. and I had got games from my Super Nintendo or something. And I don't know, maybe my dad must have probably just gone to bed and probably had a few shandies. So he was like just at the start of his hangover, and this little kid was running around the place. And he was like, Christmas, I'm telling Sandy, everything's going back if you don't come on and go to bed. So I like went to bed being like, all right. And then I think I got up again at 4 and he was like, that's it, Christmas is over. And I was like, oh man, it sucks. So, yeah, that was, thankfully he calmed down by the time it was acceptable to get up. But he did threaten to cancel Christmas that year.
Allison. I'm guessing Allison and her sister never looked, but I don't know.
No, we never looked. I don't even, to this day, I don't know where my mom would have put them, but we never looked. We wouldn't have done that. We were good.
Yeah, it was a little shit.
Well, you were convinced your mom had cameras everywhere.
Yeah, actually, I was convinced of that. I thought she would know. And I, the only reason I didn't look is because I knew that she would know that I looked and I would get in trouble.
Right.
Yeah. It wasn't worth it.
Here's a question for the parents here. Is Christmas better as a kid or as a parent?
I think as a parent.
Yeah, when they're really little. Yeah,
it's much it's more so fun. Much fun. Yeah, it's just so is much it, fun.
Yeah. What's your favorite Christmas that you've done with those guys? If was there any particular one where you were just like really excited to sort of see their reaction to something?
Oh my goodness. We had some good ones, but I mean, that's like
they kind of all still blur together. Like, yeah, I just kind of remember which individual Lego set or which like
good choice of the Legos. By the way,
that was always my favorite.
Legos, yeah, once they got into Legos, it was like that was it every year. Yeah,
awesome.
Legos. I remember one Christmas we got all these Lego sets for him, and Allison and Ursula got sick. So it was just me and Gideon, and all he was like too young to build the more complicated sets yet, and all he wanted me to do was build these sets, and my thumbs were so sore from snapping these Lego pieces together. Yeah. I just couldn't put any more together after a while. I was like, Gideon, I need to stop.
They're legit, like those bigger sets. Like I've bought a couple of them in my adult years, like even recently enough, during lockdown especially.
Yeah.
And then recently I've sort of rekindled my addiction, and like to take legit time. I mean, like some of those big sets, if you're buying them for a kid for Christmas, you might be putting them together for a day or more.
It's
pretty crazy. Was there any particular Lego set you can remember Tim putting together that you were like, this is kind of cool, you know, I want this myself?
Harry Potter castle. One of the early Harry Potter castles, and then any manner of like castle sets or something like that.
They're cool, aren't they?
Because that was my favorite when I was a kid. I got at like one of the castle sets.
Was it the Lion's Knight Castle? That's a fairly popular one. I think they re-released that recently. It's pretty cool.
It was it was yellow. It wasn't like the gray they have. It was yellow, and it just had a couple horses, and it wasn't huge. It's not like the ones that the kids had. Like they started making Lego sets, like just so many pieces. This wasn't that big, but I liked medieval stuff and I liked space stuff. So
Lego was favorite. My favorite build was just one I did myself. The kids had this play table, and I just covered the whole play table. We made this sort of post-apocalyptic city.
Nice.
That was like, it was supposed to be over the water. And I remember we called it Bridgewater City. And it was just, it was legendary, like with the kids and like, you know, they'd go to bed, I'd, you know, build onto it, they'd wake up in the morning, there'd be like three new structures. They'd be like, wow,
awesome.
You know?
Awesome. Yeah. Lego is great. Like, I really do Lego. I really do love Lego. They opened a shop up in Dublin there recently, and you can go in and print your own minifigs and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
And there's like a, I think there's two ways. There's like a sort of a table with like all the different heads, all the different like accessories, and you can just make a figure from that. But then I think there's also like a computer where you can like customize it to exactly what you want and make a little minifigure out of it. So,
that's so cool.
It's very cool. Yeah.
That place is harder to get into than like, I don't know, the Knights Templar. Like, it's just, I was like walking around Dublin. Every time I go past there, there's just a queue out the door on Grafton Street. It's insane. Yeah. Wow. I was going to go in to try and get a present for Christmas, and I was just like, no, I'm going to see if the toy shop has it. I was just like, I can't do this. I'm not queuing up for this place.
Yeah, it's an addictive little hobby, the old Lego. But yeah, definitely, when there's baby Robs, there'll be plenty of Lego. Fair enough about that one. I can tell you now, I'll be buying all the Lego. They'll be like toddlers, and I'll be buying them like knights, castles, and shit. Don't they? I'll play with that. My dad used to do that, which is the funny thing. Is like, I look back now, and I'm like, for the first probably 8 years of my life, most of my Christmas presents were what my dad wanted and was too afraid to admit it. It was like, he got me like one of those really cool Robin Hood Lego sets when I was way too young to be able to use it, and like a PlayStation and stuff like that when I didn't even know what one was, you know? So,
wow.
Yeah. But no, good times for sure. A question here, Christmas food, guys, what's your favorite Christmas food? Anything you lap up this time of year?
Give me it all.
I really like to kind of get a start. I don't know how popular a Christmas pudding is over there. Do you guys have Christmas pudding over there?
No.
Oh, you're missing out.
So just seeing them on the baking shows, yeah. You know, or the cooking shows, you know.
It's a Christmas pudding. Alison is like, what would you describe it, Eamon? It's
what is it, like a warm? It's kind of like, you know, your Christmas cake.
Yeah,
it's kind of like if the actual raisiny cake body of it was warm and had a bit more going on there, and then you get this lovely creamy port sauce
or a custard
on top of it. You can go with custard
or
as well.
Cream.
You can put anything. Put salt.
So
on
it's
it if
baked.
You want.
Yeah.
So it's warm. So you kind of heat it up.
And that's the thing that always throws me off, because here pudding is like...
Yeah, it's like a dessert. Yogurt almost. It's like
a chocolatey dessert. Or
We're almost getting back into the chips crisps.
Yeah.
Argument again.
No, it is. It's hard to kind of visualize, but yeah, Christmas cake is probably the best way. I don't know if those are even popular over there. But kind of similar to that, but they're really tasty. I must actually,
they're really good.
They have a really long shelf life, so I might try and pick one up for you guys and send one over.
Yeah. And they always
fruit
they always,
cake here. Has
it's like a fruit
like
cake.
A shelf very life like a fruit forever, cake. Like with it's little funny. Candied fruits in it.
It's pretty much it's the same kind of thing. Just it's you're supposed to heat it up, but they sell them in like little hemispheres, little plastic hemisphere packaging. So you just put it upside down and put some, you know, custard or port or whatever you want on it, and there you go, there's your pudding.
It's good.
I like any baked goods. I like same, that idea
same. There's a lot of it's them for Christmas good. Over here. Trying to think what else is good. Like trifles are very popular here. Do you guys, I don't think trifle is super popular in America either, right?
Is that with the layers?
Yeah, so sponge with jelly or jello, it's like mixed, then you have your layer of custard. And then you have your layer of cream, and then that's kept in the fridge to set. And you would put either strawberries or maybe chopped bananas on top of it. It's delicious. If you're into cream and you're into custard, you'll enjoy it. You'll really enjoy it. It's very good. It's
delicious. We're having a weird one this year. We're going to my uncle's house, the family are, and we're having a deep fried turkey.
Where they go outside and they try not to burn the house down by frying it too close to the house, right?
Yeah,
hopefully that won't be how it ends. But
look up turkey deep fryer accidents, you'll find pretty.
It's a whole genre.
Oh yeah.
Okay, right. I better check this out. He's Canadian Italian. So like, he just, any food that he makes is ridiculously tasty. He's made like these kind of weird calzone type things, and his lasagna is just, it beggars belief. Like, I've never tasted anything as good in my life.
Yeah, I think
I know. We come from people who have like boring. Well, I, like, my family's Pennsylvania Dutch, so it's like actually Pennsylvania German. So it's a lot of like leftover kind of boring German food, like mincemeat cookies and things like that. Like, very like hearty, get through the winter kind of foods.
So mincemeat used to actually have meat in it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. So
a sweet, but with a. It's like, what, beef in it, Alex?
Which is gross.
Yeah, it would be like raisins and beef. And.
But then again, I've had some Indian food that uses raisins, and it's quite tasty, actually. So maybe it might work. Mince pies are very good, of course, the classic.
Yeah.
Do you guys get mince pies over there then? With mince, to have mince meat in them?
No, we don't. That's the thing. And like, my mom just happens to make mincemeat cookies. But
that might be a mince pie, though. That might be
kind of an equivalent.
Yeah, very similar thing.
Is it basically like folded pastry over the mincemeat?
Oven? So it's almost like a little pocket.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's there you go. That's basically a mince pie then. Really, same idea.
Good
to know. Yeah, that's the same. And over here we'd have them. If you're feeling mad, like, you'd have one hot with a bit of cream on top of it, and it's tasty. Yeah. We love cream over here. We're cream on everything.
Yeah. We do New Year's Eve and Christmas Eve, we do shrimp. Is that, I don't know.
We do. Yeah, for Christmas Day, usually is our starter for the dinner. We like have a prawn cocktail. Yeah. So we'll do the same kind of thing. You know, with a Mary Rose kind of sauce.
Thousand Island or whatever,
and it's pretty tasty. That's a weird sort of one to do, right? I don't know where that kind of originated from.
Yeah, I don't know either, because it's like,
and what do you
particularly
eat?
Available that time of year? I don't know.
And for New Year's Day, do you have like a special, like, do you do like a specific meal?
I think my family tend to do like a leg of lamb. And they'll get like relatives over, and it's like a roast leg of lamb with roast potatoes and blah blah blah.
Coming over.
Yeah. Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
We do roast chicken, same kind of thing.
So for us, it's pork and sauerkraut.
Pork and sauerkraut, mashed potatoes.
Lovely. That sounds good as well. To be fair,
what's the dish that you sent me the recipe for, Rob?
Oh. What did I send you the rest
of? Colcannon, right?
Oh, Colcannon.
It's kind of like our version. It's sauerkraut, mashed potatoes, and pork. It's pretty much, it's very similar. You know?
My sister did make the recipe because her husband's Irish. Their last name's Grady. Okay. So all of his relatives are Irish, and they've done the DNA test. They're officially 95% Irish. So she said, maybe he would love this. And she said, it just tastes like really good mashed potatoes.
That's it. And I think with Colcannon, for a lot of people, the memory of it is actually better than the end product. I think it's like, for my
food.
Yeah, my granddad had it as a kid, like, and I made it for him recently. And he was kind of just like, oh, is that it? Kind of. And I'm like, yeah, it's just mashed potatoes with cabbage and stuff like that. It's a fairly basic dinner. But I went for sauerkraut myself, Tim, recently. I went on a quest to the local Polish supermarket here to try and get some sauerkraut, because usually we'd have it in our bigger chains, but for some reason it was just nowhere to be found. But I got some in the end. It was actually quite good. I'd never really had it, so I enjoyed it, though. Tasty.
Yeah, I love it. So the fresher sauerkraut is supposed to be better for your gut. I don't know, like the canned sauerkraut or the bottled sauerkraut tends to give me issues, digestive issues. But the stuff that people, you know, make themselves is supposed to be supposed to have all the with the probiotics or whatever that help with that.
Some people, too many probiotics can be a bad thing too. There's like I think there's like a. It's kind of a buzzword now, probiotics, isn't it? But I think for some people, they're not like super healthy. Some people, they can actually kind of react poorly to too many probiotics. So I know myself, if I take like a probiotic supplement for a couple of days, I'll get like really bad heartburn and things like that. You know, it doesn't really agree with me long term. Yeah.
You need a neutrobiotic. Not pro or anti.
Yeah. I need a, was it a prebiotic? Yeah, there's another one. But yeah, I don't know. It depends for everyone. It's different, I suppose, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm currently drinking a prebiotic beverage.
What is it? Oh. Kombucha?
It's some kind it of is, fake ass kombucha. It's
health aid. It's called health aid. Nice.
You can tell it's healthy.
Nice. Yeah. Health aid pop.
Oh, very good. Sounds good. How much sugar is in it?
Mostly.
Let's see. Total carbs is 3%. Total sugars is 6 grams. Whatever that is.
Oh, that's not too bad. That's all right.
It's only 35 calories for the can.
Oh, that's fine then. Yeah, that's all happy days. Have at it then.
Rob, your granny, when I was living in, with your cousin in college, she used to have those Benefit bars.
Oh, yeah.
Bring up a packet of them every week. And we all thought they're just sugar. But we were like, oh, Benefit. So it's good. It's a benefit to you. It's good for you. So we used to be eating these the whole time. And we're like, oh, I'm feeling sluggish and tired all the time. I don't know why.
Yeah, that's true. It's funny how that stuff works. Another question here. This is a silly one before we get on to our Icelandic adventure, I suppose, folks, is what's the best tasting cryptid? which one would you cook over the fire for Christmas? That's one for you.
I mean, you're gonna get more bang for your buck out of a Bigfoot.
Yeah, but that's like cannibalism. It's too
close. Yeah, that's too close. You're gonna get that prion disease off a Bigfoot. Yeah. You know?
That's how they make other Bigfoots.
True. Mothman might be too.
He seems stringy.
Yeah.
Chupacabra could be good. Yeah, there you go. See, he could be like chicken.
Goatman, there you go.
Goatman.
Yeah, that's good. Smoked goatman.
Nice. Make kebabs.
Yeah, he'd be good.
There is a pig man if you're into pork.
Yeah,
it's true actually. Yeah, the pig man, the bunny man. If you want a bit of lean meat.
So I suppose, guys, we'll check out this Icelandic folklore here. Sure. Have you guys been to Iceland?
Never.
No.
If you ever come over to Ireland, it's a nice little stop on the way. And because it's right in the middle between us, really. It's a little bit north, but it's kind of on the way. And when you're there, you can check out the lagoons, which are fantastic. The Blue Lagoon, of course, is the most commercial one. It's like the McDonald's of the geysers. They'll even tell you that when you're there. But even that alone is gorgeous. Eamon, were you in any of them when you were there?
Yeah, that's the man-made one, isn't it? That you have like a little wristband.
Yeah,
you can go buy beer in there and they charge you and you can get hammered in a man-made geyser, which is good fun.
And the water is entirely blue.
It's very nice. To be fair, everything over there, like, did you see the Crystal Coast where there's just giant glaciers, or rather broken up glaciers that just are sort of see-through and delicious looking.
I passed a glacier. I don't think it was that one. No, I didn't go to that place. I know where you're talking about.
The Black Coast and all that. Yeah, there's some really, really amazing sights out there.
Yeah, it's a really nice spot. So even for everyone listening, it's worth the trip. Very expensive, but definitely worth going to see for a couple of days. It's the land of the ice and snow, Tim. Inspired Led Zeppelin to write the song, you know?
Did you ever see the what they call them? Necromantic pants or whatever, the Icelandic necromantic pants.
I haven't. What are they? Tell me more.
They're made out of human skin and they have the willy still on them.
So, oh, nice.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Then supposedly like necromancers wore them for some sort of ritual or something.
Oh,
well, not just as a base layer to go on walks.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we're going to, you know,
you can imagine work. We're going to need to keep the penis on this. It's for aesthetic purposes, of course.
Yeah, it's truly a magical place, though. So if anyone listening is from Iceland, you are definitely living it up over there. And really interesting little bit of trivia about the place is that all of their hot water comes from the geothermal activity of the volcanoes. So they pipe the hot water around the country rather than generate it from anywhere. So they actually use the land to heat the water, which is really nice.
So warm. Cool. With that like they will open, because it's obviously freezing there in winter, but they'll open windows in winter because it actually gets so hot in your house that you'll open a window in the middle of snow and ice and all the rest of it just to cool down a bit, which is kind of funny.
I did that in my house growing up because my parents were older. I was, like I said, the youngest of six.
Oh, yeah.
They had old people.
Pumping. And at some point, my dad had insulation pumped into the walls. It was an old farmhouse. Mm-hmm. Oh, but for some reason, only around my bedroom. the best insulated room in the house. And it got so hot. I would have the windows wide open in the middle of winter.
Yeah, my grand and granddad's is the same. I'm up there every day, and it's like a lizard's tank is what I kind of call it. The terrarium is what I call it, but it is literally...
It's helped to keeping you alive, kind of like trying to keep eggs warm so they can stay alive.
Yeah, it is. It's like, because sometimes I'll forget about it, and I'm in the middle of cooking dinner, and I'm like, fucking hell, like, I actually annoyed it's so hot. I'm like, I'm too hot here. Like, and you have to open a window or something. But
I do have some sympathy for that. It, in the past, as long as I was inside the winter, I'd be in short sleeves and shorts.
Yeah.
And it just this year, suddenly I'm like, I need a sweater.
Oh, you're getting there now. We'll have to send you over a heat lamp now. You can sit under all day.
I love that idea.
Yeah. So I suppose for the start of it, Eamon, do you want to take us away here on this little bit about Icelandic folklore here?
Icelandic folklore. So. Yeah. Iceland seems to have an abundant amount of Christmas folklore, so Rob says it would be rude not to head on over to the land of the ice and snow and find out what it's all about. So the first is the Yule Lads. The Yule Lads and their mother, Grilja, take the place of Santa Claus in Iceland. Yeah, I'm not even sure if that's how you say it.
It is Grilla. It is Grilla. That's the only one I know the pronunciation for. As well, disclaimer for all of us.
Yeah.
None of us are going to get these names right. Monsterfuzz listeners are used to it. I don't know about Strange from Inners listeners, though.
We always do like wide sweeping apologies before we attempt other languages.
I believe Icelandic is the closest modern language to Old Norse, if I remember this bit of trivia.
I believe that because they were an isolated population. So yeah, they probably kept that same. There's another bit of trivia now. I don't know how true it is. It kind of sounds weird to me, but they reckon that the American accent now, like the sort of the broader American accent now, is how English people sounded way before they emigrated over to America. That's what they say. No, I don't know. That to me sounds kind of strange because the English accent is so varied and stuff and really has like a lot of total differences that it kind of is strange to me. But but maybe there is a bit of truth to it because, again, you guys came... I wouldn't say you became an isolated population. You had a bunch of influences from all over the world and stuff like that. But... it's an interesting thought. It was something that was bandied around a couple of years ago. Now, I don't know whether now it's kind of been disproven or whatever. But yeah, it was something that they were saying.
They used to try to get people with what they called the mid-Atlantic accent, that like a lot of old movie stars and stuff. You're like, is that person British or are they American? What is that? And I believe it was an attempt to kind of literally kind of strike in the middle between the English accent and the American accent.
Bridge the gap. Yeah. Because if you listen to all the singers from back then, like even the kind of the Rat Pack and all those guys, and then a lot of the like the dancey show band kind of people, they all kind of sounded the same. They were like this very safe sound, kind of neutral almost the way they sang, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, the first mention of the Yule Lads can be found in the 17th century poem of Grilla. She's described as a hideous being who is the mother of the gigantic Yule Lads, a menace to children. Early on, the number and depiction of the Yule Lads varied greatly depending on the location. They were used to frighten children into good behavior, somewhat similar to the boogeyman. The boogeyman? What way do you guys say it?
Boogeyman over here.
Boogeyman, right.
I say boogeyman because it sounds funnier. You just imagine a guy that kind of dances all the time and tries to find you.
Disco stew coming out of your closet. Hey!
Yeah, boogeyman we say. I don't know why.
Yeah, my mom said the same. I remember as a kid being like, but boogie means like dance. And she was like, yeah, that's what he is.
Boogie means something completely else over here. I mean, it could mean dance too. But it comes from the bogart, which was a folkloric kind of goblin type thing.
We haven't done the boogeyman yet. This is something that we've been meaning to do actually, but we haven't done notes on him yet at all.
Or maybe Boggart it is. But anyway, Boggart, yeah. Bogart, one of those.
not Bogart. He's Bogart, rather.
Mike Rowe here with a radical idea. If you want to see more companies make more things in this country, buy more things from more companies who make things in this country. I refer in this case to the incredible t-shirts, sweatshirts, blue jeans, and more made by my friends at American Giant. Everything American Giant makes is made in the United States. And right now, you can take 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com/Mike. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So in the late 18th century, a poem mentions 13 of them. In the mid-19th century, author John Arneson drew inspiration from the Brothers Grimm and began collecting folktales. His 1862 collection. Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Ah, very cool. So his 1862 collection is the first mention of the name of the Yule Lads. Mm. In 1932, the poem Yule Lads was published as a part of the popular poetry book Christmas is Coming, Jólin Koma. Definitely haven't said that right. By the Icelandic poet Jóhannes Úr Kötlum.
Awesome.
That's great.
I know, I'm just pretending. I watched The Norseman like a week ago, so nice. I'm just pretending.
Good movie. That's a good movie.
It's really, really movie. Yes, Eamon, it is really, really movie. No, it's a really good movie. Yeah.
What is it? What movie is it?
It's Robert Eggers, right?
What's the name of it?
The Norseman.
The Norseman. Norseman, yeah. Is it Norseman or Northman?
I think it's Norse. North. I watched it on the plane.
It's like
Brazil.
The direction.
Yeah, the Northman. Northman.
I think so, yeah. It's good. Yeah. It's very good. Yeah, very violent, very good. But good.
Yeah, it's cool the way they kind of mix fantasy with the reality. Like it shows the barbarism of it, but then it has these weird fantastical parts as well. I was totally won over by those. Just yeah. And they look so good.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, just one to check out. But anyway, this poem was popular and established what is now considered the canonical 13 Yule Lads, their names and their personalities, Rob.
So here's the thing as well. I'm not sure about right now because I don't have any Icelandic people to reach out to, but they don't really do Santa, or at least they didn't do Santa in Iceland. It was just the Yule Lads. So like these aren't adjacent to Santa. These are Santa. These are the equivalent of Santa in Iceland.
Can't you guys get Shakira to call Björk?
Yeah, actually. we have, I'll send it on to you, Tim. Last year, do you remember we did the Shakira Christmas song last year? I mean, Jingle Bells.
I tried to wipe everything with Shakira out of my mind immediately. We did, I'm afraid of litigation.
Last year we did Jingle Bells, and it's a Christmas jingle with one of our listeners, Frederick Fink is his name. What he did was he used to take the songs that Eamon sang at the start of episodes and he'd like resample them and write his own music over them. And they were awesome. Like he's really talented. Good, yeah. And I think he did the Jingle Bells one for us, I think. My memory's kind of foggy on it, but it's there on the computer anyway, so I'll send it on to you, Tim. It's funny. So I'm going to try and alleviate some pressure here for Alison and Tim. And I'm going to try and tackle these names. I'm going in deep here. I've got the list of you lads.
Oh, you're going to do the Icelandic names?
Oh, I'll try. I'll give them a go.
Oh boy.
Let's go.
And then do we each get to pick who our favorite Yule lad is, or who we most, which Yule lad is?
Yeah.
Who we identify with.
Yeah. Which you allege identify with. Yeah, we'll absolutely do that.
Harasses so, sheep. I like that idea.
Yeah, Dracul. So, like, again, apparently there was, you know, way more of these. So you're talking like 80 or 90, they kind of became this thing that were a very specialist thing to maybe just correct misbehaving children in certain circumstances. I think a lot of them would have been from farmland families and things like that. So a lot of these kind of make sense when you go to more rural areas, I suppose. So the Ulads are the sons, as we were saying, of Grilla and Lepaludi. How's about that? They are a group. They're a group of 13 mischievous pranksters who steal from or otherwise harass the population. They all have descriptive names that generally convey their favorite way of causing mischief. They arrive one by one over the final 13 nights leading up to Christmas, which is Yule. They leave small gifts and shoes that children place on windowsills. But if the child has been disobedient, they leave a rotten potato in the shoe instead. It'd be hard to get a rotten potato, though, right?
We had an unknown smell in our old house one day. And I was like, what is this horrible smell? I thought the sewage was backing up. I'm looking everywhere for it. Finally, I opened the drawer where we kept potatoes, and I don't know how old they were. Mm-hmm. But this mushroom cloud of gnats comes up. And I'm just hit in the face with this, you know, rotten potato smell. And I was like, oh, I found it. There it is.
I didn't know they got that bad. Yeah.
They smell really bad. Nasty. They smell like human waste.
Oh. Do they get all squishy and kind of... Because I've only seen them when they start to turn into like tentacled Lovecraftian potatoes.
That's before they get really bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They will go.
Then
nasty.
They eat their own.
Yeah. So you notice the other potatoes are like worshipping them in a foreign language.
Yeah. So you lads arrive over the course of the last 13 nights, as we said. One of them actually departs on each day. Beginning on Christmas Day in the order that they arrived. Thus, each of them stays for 13 days. And here are the canonical 13 Yule lads in the order they arrive and depart. So, let's see. Icelandic name number one, Stekkjarstor.
Ooh, that's good. That's good. Yeah. Impressed. I don't know if it's right, but it sounds good.
Yeah. I would just go with it. Just be confident.
They calls me Icelandic Bob over here, you know. So the English translation of him is Sheep Caught Clod. And he harasses sheep, but is impaired by his stiff peg legs, apparently.
There's many jokes there. But yeah, anyway.
There's loads. There's loads to be made. So let's check this one. Yilgargaur. Something. Yiljagaur. There we go. Gully Gawk is his name. He hides in gullies waiting for an opportunity to sneak into the cow shed and rob an old bit of milk. That's what he's into. Stufur, who is stubby. He's abnormally short. He steals pans to eat the crust left on them. So he's into his crusts. Do we like the crusts, guys?
If I could have a crust pie... with nothing in it, I'd be very happy. I'm all about that.
I second that. Yeah, 100%.
Allison, you about that crust life?
No, I usually leave the crust for Tim, and I take all the good inside topping.
Yeah, see, we have a very symbiotic pie relationship.
Just give me the apple or the pumpkin, and you can have all the crust. It's just a vehicle to keep it contained.
That is how a good relationship works. Even just before we came in to record, my girlfriend was eating pizza and she left all the crusts of the pizza. I was like, you know, I'm having those. Like, I don't care how disgusted you are by me, I'm eating them in front of you.
Have you ever had bread and butter pudding, Tim?
No.
Oh, you're going to love that, son. That's basically what you do. Bread and butter pudding, again, it's not a pudding in, say, what you guys would be familiar with, but you basically, again, it's another kind of Irish dish. You save up all of your crusts and even some stale bread, actually, a lot of the time is actually better to use. And you sort of make a baked kind of, kind of cakey thingy with it. It's got raisins in it. It's got custard in it. It's tasty, son. I'll send you a recipe when we're done. This seems
my
to
mom
be
made something like that. She just called bread pudding. I wonder if it's similar.
Probably the very same thing.
So, I did enjoy it.
Yeah, it's very good. It's very good. This one I was going to be tricky, lads. So, Vorlsliker. Yeah, Vorlsliker, I suppose, which is the spoon liquor that lad steals and nicks wooden spoons, is extremely thin due to his malnutrition.
And well, how good of a spoon licker is he then?
He's not very good. The spoons he's licking aren't doing bread and butter pudding, I'll tell you that much. We've got Potas Kefil, which is the pot scraper, and he robs leftovers from your pots. We have Askasleikir, who is the bowl licker. He hides under beds, waiting for someone to put down their asker, which is a type of bowl with a lid used instead of dishes. And he robs that. He takes that as well. It's a common theme here. So we have Hurdaskeljer, which is the door slammer. He slams doors, especially during the night, to wake people up. He has a bit of a paranormal side to him then, I suppose, yeah, as well, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. He also sounds like my dad.
Didn't we have Tim in the episode you subbed in for Eamon? Wasn't the door slamming the paranormal thing we were talking about in that episode, I believe?
Yeah, it could be. I do so much of this. Yeah, but I mean, that's like typical poltergeist stuff. We'll get to some more down here too that have something in common with some other Christmas creeps.
Yeah. So the Skir Gamur, which is the Skir Gobbler. Now, he has a great affinity for Skir, which is Icelandic yogurt. Have any of you guys had Skir?
Oh, I have.
It's lovely.
Yeah.
Very tasty. Fan of Skir. So we have... Djugnakrekker is the sausage swiper. He hides in the rafters and snatches sausages that are being smoked. Make of that what you will. The Gluggagegger, he is the window peeper. He is a snoop who looks in through your windows and searches things to steal.
See, so we have a Christmas wild man here called the Belsnickel.
Yeah, I've heard you talk about the Belsnickel.
One of the things he does is knocks on windows and peeps in windows. And we did our show on the Belsnickel a few years back, like 3 years back. Mm. And we had a story. I found an old newspaper article about a woman who was literally scared to death by she heard some tapping on her window, opened the window and saw either someone dressed as Belsnickel or something else. It was unclear, but they credited it to somebody dressed as a Belsnickel. And she actually died from fright, they said.
Good Lord. Damn, son. So we have the Gattapefur, who is the doorway sniffer. He has a big, large nose and an acute sense of smell, which he can use to locate leaf bread. That sounds interesting. No fun route.
I'm imagining the stuff the elves gave the hobbits to eat in Lord of the Rings.
Lambus bread, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Tasty Lambus bread, yeah. There's things over here called Nutri-Grain bars. I always thought of them as Lambus bread. We used to call them Lambus bread around the time.
We have Nutri-Grain, right?
Yeah. There you go. Lambus bread. Get that into
I always imagine it like the hardtack that they used during the war, like during the American Civil War, that would last for like 9 months. Tasty.
Yeah. Or a flapjack, maybe. A little bit like a flapjack, maybe. Perhaps. Those are good. Kit Krugkur is meat hook. He just uses a hook to steal meat. He's fairly boring, really. Kurt Dasnicker, who's the last one. And this guy robs an old candle. He follows children in order to steal their candles, which at once upon a time were made out of tallow and were edible, which is why... they were stealing them, I suppose, so they could eat the candle, right?
Mm.
That's kind of a strange one. Yeah. Give me those tallow candles.
They kind of all sound like desperately poor Dickensian orphans who just need something to eat. And they've made them into ghoulish creatures.
Yeah, you kind of want to help them almost, right? You're like, these little guys kind of need a bit of help, I think.
Unless they have black eyes, I think we're fine to let them in and give them something to eat.
Although all of those with black eyes is kind of a scary thought, to be quite honest with you.
I think the only one that seems to have his game together is the meat hook guy who's trying to get, I'm going to try to get some pork or whatever. Everyone else is like, I'll lick this plate. I'm going to try this spoon left over from a pot. You know, he's just like, I'm stealing sausage. I'm good.
All right, then, Alison, which one is your spirit new lad?
Well, I do like the idea of whatever leaf bread is.
Yeah.
The abnormally large nose and sense of smell. I feel like I have a I feel like they don't have any Yule lasses, do they?
I don't think so.
See, when you say lads, I just think like I have preconceived notions of like people just bang each other on the head after a football match, but that could be just my American idea of what lads are.
No, you're pretty much right. But then again, we will use lad fairly casually as well. So, but lad,
like, does it mean two different things? Does it mean just,
yes,
it can just mean little boys?
I'm with the lads can mean I'm just hanging out with my friends, you know, like that's mm-hmm. that's something that I would use quite often. It's like, where are you? I'm with the lads, I'm just hanging out with them. Now, usually
you for a group,
you would say for a group, and it can be unisex as well. So, like, say if I was hanging with Eamon and his girlfriend, and someone asked, oh, where are you? I'm just hanging out with the lads, you know?
Mm. Oh, like guys, like we
All
of us guys are doing that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, Tim, which one are you feeling?
I do enjoy a sausage.
You're all about smoking those sausages, are you?
Sausage swiper.
I liked the idea of seeing him hide in the rafters.
I hope he has strong rafters.
Delicate man that he is, hanging in the rafters.
Like Spider-Man.
Yeah.
See, it all comes back to Spider-Man, no matter what we start with. What about you, Robbie? What's the... I'm the meat guy as well. I'm meat hook.
No, I'm going with the skier guy, you know. I like a bit of skier.
Yeah, a bit of skier.
I have an affinity to skier. Interestingly enough, don't know how it is in America. I don't know what way it works, but there's some kind of act that protects local foods and produce, right? So you can't make skier outside of Iceland here. You can't sell skier that isn't from Iceland here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm.
The same goes for like a lot of the Italian and Spanish cured meats. Mm-hmm. They have to come from those areas.
Yeah, we have like an American version of Munster cheese, but it's spelled differently.
Because
the actual Munster cheese you have to get from Munster.
You know they sell Wexford cheese in America, by the way, so keep an eye out for it. You'll be able to get myself and Eamon's local produce, you know.
Wexford Creamery cheese in America.
You can get it in America, some of our listeners.
It was the only thing keeping me here, Rob. I'm gonna move over. I'm going west.
Okay, Fievel.
So there's I mean, it's kind of cool though that they preserve those foods and kind of preserve the local. There's a couple in Great Britain as well that they preserve, like the I think Melton Mowbray pies, pork pies. I think they can only be made there. I think Cornish pasties.
Cornish pasties.
It's cool that they do that, though. You kind of like to see it, rather than people just robbing, say, a local tradition and commercializing it. You know,
there's nothing of it. There's no like distinctly American food that anybody would want, though. Like you just want some prepackaged hot dogs or something. You can have them. You can share our culture.
Is there anything distinctly American? See, we've had
hamburgers.
People have had slabs of meat on bread since the beginning
but
of time.
I mean, it's kind of true enough.
You guys can tend to perfect food, though.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, like, you definitely like hamburgers, pizzas, all that taken from different places, but
the pizza is, I mean, it's not ours, but American pizza is.
Yeah, you guys like,
well, actually, you just kind of have a little bit of a roundabout claim, because tomatoes, whatever way you want to say it, those are a new world plant. They come from America, so the Italians didn't have them. They're not an Italian thing. They only got them after they got to America. But of course, all of you guys are in America now because those guys got there. So it's kind of like a weird thing. But no, they are. They're not even a European thing, tomatoes, at all. So that's something that a lot of people don't realize. So even pizzas and stuff and things like that wouldn't have went back that long.
What was spaghetti sauce like before?
Yeah, it was probably just olive oil and
garlic.
Yeah, just like that.
Which
is
nice.
It's not really nice. I sometimes I'll cook a pasta like that, you know. I worked in an Italian restaurant growing up, and
or like a pesto or something.
Yeah, like a pesto as well. Man. Yeah, pesto is delicious too. So Alison, do you want to tell us a little bit about Grilla, the mother of the Yule lads here?
Oh, okay. I'll do the one feminine part. Yeah. There's 13 boys and their unfortunate mother. That she didn't have them all at once, did she? They're sequential, I guess. They're of different ages, I suppose.
I don't know. You'd have to. I'm not that deep into it now, to be honest. But maybe they just all came out at once, 80 yeah. of them or whatever.
Maybe it is a question of, if she's an ogress, do they like have litters? Or do they just, you know, one at a time?
I had two at once, and I'm telling you, 13 sounds like you might as well just...
Oh, you had twins, did you?
Yeah, oh, yeah. The kids are twins, yeah.
Ah, wow. Okay. Yeah, so it was all at once for you then, in the deep end.
Boy and a girl and done.
Yeah, well, that's
good. And just 11 more to go, and then I'll be an ogress. So the Yule Lad's mother is the ogress Grýla. Grýla is one of the oldest mythical characters in Icelandic folklore. She's mentioned in the 13th century manuscripts, and we can also find Grýla in the Faroe Islands and a closely related ogre in Ireland. She's closely related to the fear of hunger. She's always hungry, and she threatens to snatch away children, usually the naughty ones.
So what's the related ogre in Ireland? Do you know?
No idea. No, there's lots of ogres in Ireland. I tell you.
I'm trying to think, is there any famous, like, is that obviously the most famous kind of female ghoul is, I can't even think of female ogres, but the Banshee would be the famous one.
That's the ghoul, yeah. But like, in terms, to be quite honest with you, in terms of that side of the folklore of Ireland, we haven't delved too deep into it yet. Because we started with cryptids and stuff like that, we sort of, the folklore is kind of coming around more so now, now that we're running through most of the cryptids, you know, you get through them eventually, you're like, yeah, we've done all those guys. But the folklore is something that, it gets tricky, you know yourself, Tim, as well, when you're, it was even for the same reason that we're not really doing a Yule episode this year, is because I looked into Yule, and of course, because it's the season, super stuck for time, and you guys are under pressure too. And I just realized, I was like, with this stuff, it goes back so far, and you have like 25 tabs open
on, oh, yeah.
like different takes of like what may or may not have happened. When you're talking about ogres and stuff, it's not as bad or things like that. But when you're talking about Christmas, and you're getting into like Christianity and stuff, it can be tricky because you're wanting to be right. You know, you don't want to sound like an idiot when you're talking about a cryptid or something. It's whatever. But when you're talking about something that, you know, there's millions of people believe in, you're like, I kind of want to get it a little bit better as well, because generally whenever we touch religion is when we get blowback. So we're trying to approach it a bit better now and at least be a bit more comprehensive. And so Yule itself is a super complicated and sort of wishy-washy kind of thing, because it ties in with Roman stuff. And then the pagan stuff is kind of like tied in with Christianity. And then there's all the birth of Christ stuff. And is it a retroactive thing? And there's a lot to get into. Truth be told, you could probably do a huge series about that. Yeah. That maybe spanned the whole month of December. Mm-hmm. So it can be kind of tricky. So the Irish ones, Lord only knows. There's probably, to be honest, there's probably 20 of them even, do you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, it's a tricky one. I know I found a book my dad had in the house. It was Folklore of Wexford.
Yeah.
Stuff I'd never heard of in my life, like these free rolling heads that are down by the river in Blackwater and all sorts of stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's just our sort of little wedge of Ireland. So that's one out of 32 counties. Mm-hmm. And there's a huge book dedicated to it, which probably doesn't even encompass all of it. So I'd say if you went through the whole, because I even just did a quick look there to find the Irish ogre and I couldn't find it. which means it's impossible to find if I couldn't find it in 2 to 3 minutes.
What I will say though, before we get back to Grýla, is that Icelandic and Irish culture shared a lot, because Ireland was at one point in time, well, Dublin was the biggest Viking trading post at one point in time. Mm-hmm. And what that meant was trading of spices, whatever, but also trading of people. Slaves, wives, things like that. So they would take the Irish women generally and bring them to Iceland. So there would have been maybe a lot of crossover of culture from those type of things. So I suppose it's quite possible that Grilla maybe has some of that old Irish kind of bleed through in her, you know.
I mean, does she not sound like just a mother of a lot of boys? Like, she could just be a Catholic mom with a lot of boys.
She could be, yeah. I mean, yeah, I think like some of my grandparents had way more than these kids. I think actually, yeah, my granny's granny, I think, had something like 17 children.
And how do you live through that? I mean, the odds of you dying in childbirth at that time are so high. To be able to effectively not die during 17 births.
To me, that's absolutely insane. But they had no contraception. Rains a lot in Ireland, you know.
How dark does it get this time of year?
It's pretty early, like by five, six.
Yeah. Winter solstice is tomorrow at the time of recording, folks. That's so right, yeah. Longest day of the year, so or shortest. So it's super dark up until about 9, and then the sun will set again at around 4 or 5. So not that much light. Yeah. You guys get maybe an hour longer, maybe in the winter. Would I be right?
This time of year, it's dark by 5.
Okay, so much the same then.
Probably the same, yeah.
Yeah, it's a light a little bit earlier in the morning, I think. Then.
Yeah, we have light earlier in the morning. We have, well, because we mess with the time and everything.
True.
You know, the daylight savings time thing where we just convince ourselves that we actually have more or less time, and I can't even remember the ration. It's for farmers that don't exist anymore because it's all part of a huge conglomerate of
big time change.
Big time, yes.
Big time.
No, but they did. It's they're trying to fix that now in Ireland and Europe, where they just go on a standardized time. They get rid of this whole savings thing. We do the same thing. We have that savings time. Actually, there's sometimes, I think, Tim, maybe where we went to record, maybe in our times are actually out of sync from what they usually are. Mm-hmm. We're like usually 5 hours, and I think one time it might have been 4 hours.
Yeah, there's a brief window because I think you guys changed the clocks a little bit later in the fall.
No, we the same when we went to Brazil. Initially, we were 4 hours behind when we got there. And then after a day or two, it was 3 hours because they had done the old switcheroo.
Right. So, Alison, do you want to get back to Grilla? Fill us in.
Sure. As the Yule lads became gentler in the 20th century, Grilla remained evil, keeping the old tradition of evil Christmas spirits alive. In old stories, she has many heads, eyes in the back of her head, bearded fangs, a tail and hooves, an actual monster.
Oof.
Grilla is a domineering woman. Yes. Yes. Is that me?
Are you throwing shade, Tim? Are you?
Oh, Lord.
I do have eyes in the back of my head.
You'll get them after tail, this episode.
Grilla is a domineering woman. She's often shown beating and berating her husband. According to the legend,
Lepaludi.
Thank you. Is the third of Grilla's husbands. She killed and ate her first husband, Guster.
Timothy.
Her second husband, Bali, whom she also murdered after the two had a large number of troll children. And her current husband is said to be living with her in their cave in
Dimmu Borgir. Have you ever heard of them? They're a metal band,
right?
Yeah, there's the Dimmu Borgir Lava Fields. I think that's the right way to say it, but they're also a metal band. They're not great, but anyway, I digress.
Somebody's upset.
Yeah. Just must, with the big black Yule cat and their sons. I'm just going to have you say it every time.
Lepaludi.
It's lazy.
And not even trying. Lepaludi.
I know, now all of a sudden like a Mario become Italian.
Yeah. It's-a me, Lepaludi.
I make pizza with the fish. It's lazy and mostly stays at home in their cave. Tim. Grilla supposedly has dozens of children with her previous husbands, but they are rarely mentioned nowadays.
So we do have the Yule Cat. Tim is going to do the Yule Cat bit because there's a full poem and a bit about the Yule Cat. But what does Mega Hard then? She sounds like a formidable foe.
Mm. Mm, yeah.
Sounds like she's had a lot more than just the 13 kids as well.
This is just with Lipaludi. Her name is. It, like, yeah, sounds like she's had dozens of kids with a couple of other guys.
Round, round, get around, she gets around. Yeah, she does. She seems like that kind of cat. Three husbands, though, all the same.
Well, look, she was married, so it was all within wedlock, I'm sure.
All above board. Interesting start for. It's just. I find it strange that they just don't have Santa and in place this is the norm. Like, it's quite, because like even Krampus and stuff like that seems like he was always kind of the yang to Santa's yin, right? But this is more like, yeah, no, we just believe in a bunch of kind of weird goblins that rob everything on us. It's like, kind of seems a bit lackluster, does it not?
I mean, that still area is looking like the perfect place to host Santa.
Maybe Santa needs to come in and show everyone what's up, you know, pay-per-view Santa versus the old lads. Start body slamming the little fuckers, you know.
You gotta like, but Santa has to have some sort of tag team, because I reckon Mrs. Claus, she always seemed formidable in anything I saw her in.
Mrs. Claus, you know, versus Grilla wrestling match. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we need to do like a tables, ladders, chairs match. Santa and Mrs. Claus versus Grilla. Because, you know, Lepaludi, he's not going to do anything. He's just, he'll throw the fight.
Yeah.
He's just watching football on TV.
Yeah.
Like the Italian he is. Yeah.
So, cats, lads, are these cat people? A lot of cats feature in folklore. We're talking about a Yule cat, but do you guys like cats? In Ireland, cats are a divisive animal.
I'm fine with cats. I would label myself a dog person, but that doesn't mean I hate cats. I enjoy a cat.
I love a cat, yeah.
Yeah, I love a cat.
Mm-hmm. Allison. Allison
is silent. I like cats. Cats.
It's a funny thing over here, especially in some of the more west counties, there's people who just hate cats.
Oh no, I think it's pretty common here, man. Some of my friends hate cats.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was more for like the kind of Donegal, the places where they eat their young and stuff.
Fermanagh. We have a listener from Fermanagh. He messaged me on Instagram the other day and I was like, Fermanagh's like the island off Lost. I've never met anyone from there. It's just there in name only.
You know what they have in Fermanagh? I was there once and I stayed in the Bubble Domes.
The bubble.
So it's basically it's a giant inflated sort of room, if you like, and you can look out into the stars at night. So it's really beautiful.
So to have something that you could get anywhere else, then, basically, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Aside from that, we went. Yeah,
you mean the outside?
Yeah. they have air and plastic that they use outside. It's pretty awesome.
And the ability to look up.
Now, to be fair, I'm after pinching my sciatic nerve, so I don't always have that ability at the moment. Oh.
Well, you have that ability as long as you like electric pain running down your ass.
Exactly, yeah. As long as my right glute doesn't explode, I can manage it.
I think, though, there's a lot of heavy cat folklore in Ireland. There's a lot of superstition buying cats, and a lot of it was negative, which to me is surprising, because like my granddad hates cats, for example, and there's a bunch of rats
old people really hate cats,
and I'm like, keep the cats around, cats get rid of rats. As a matter of fact, I reckon that's how cats got to Ireland, was because the Vikings used to keep them on their boats to keep away rats from the food and stuff like that, from the getting grains, on the boats. Yeah. So I think they're great. I mean, keep them away from everything. I love those Maine Coons as well. I kind of want one of those.
Actually, my uncle, whose house I'm going to, he has two Maine Coons, totally docile and really friendly and nice, but they're just so big. Like my niece, she's only going to be 4 in January, but when she's just, it's as if she's seeing like a mystical animal.
Well, yeah, that'd be like a lion to her, yeah.
Yeah, they're so big, you know, it's awesome.
Make sure the Maine Coons don't go for the fucking turkey when it's frying, otherwise you'll have a fried Maine Coon for the day.
There's enough to feed the family anyway.
So Tim, Yule cats, what's the crack?
A Yule cat, you say?
Yes, a Yule cat indeed.
At Christmas time in Iceland, families give warm clothing to each member of their household. According to legend, there is a frightening Christmas cat who stalks the snowy countryside and gobbles up anyone not equipped for the cold and wintry weather. Families in Iceland work together to ensure nobody will go to the Christmas cat. This terrifying Christmas cat is also referred to as the Yule cat. The idea is that families gift each other new and warm clothes for the winter and make the Yule Cat an offering of some warm weather gear. If not, the Yule Cat will gobble you up like some fishy treats. The message is passed down to children who are taught to work hard, and if they don't or are bad children, the Christmas cat will eat them. Terrifying, but effective.
Yeah, yeah. So these cats are kind of, maybe some of this folklore was passed down as well. Maybe that's why the Irish people don't like cats either, because they're worried about getting ate by them.
Yeah, there's cats. I always love that line. I think it was from the Constantine movie, the Hellblazer movie they made years ago. But they need a cat to do one of these rituals to open a portal to hell. Mm-hmm. And he needs the cat to be in like water, and she's like, "Why can't?" And he's like, "Oh, they're kind of half in and half out of hell already." Oh, they have that kind of energy, you know.
Okay, right.
So there's a beloved poem about the Yule Cat by Johannes Kutlum.
Oh, very good.
Which describes the huge cat's sharp teeth and glaring yellow eyes, along with the belief that one must work hard for Christmas to avoid being punished by the Yule Cat. Here is the poem. How do you want to do that?
You take it away, Tim. You take it away.
Oh, I think someone should sing it, don't you think?
Well, Evan, if you can sing it, by all means, we're all ears.
I tell you what. How about we meet halfway? We can sing. We can sing a stanza each.
Oh
no, I can't sing. No,
everyone's just like no. Okay, then I guess Tim's just gonna have to read it.
You all know the Yule Cat, and that cat was huge indeed. People didn't know where he came from or where he went. He opened his glaring eyes wide, the two of them glowing bright. It took a really brave man to look straight into them, his whiskers sharp as bristles, his back arched up high, and the claws of his hairy paws were a terrible sight. He gave a wave of his strong tail. He jumped and he clawed and he hissed, sometimes up in the valley, sometimes down by the shore. He roamed at large, hungry and evil, in the freezing Yule snow. In every home, people shuddered at his name. If one heard a pitiful meow, something evil would happen soon. Everybody knew he hunted men, but didn't care for mice.
Yeah, the whole word rhyming part of the poem isn't really there, but I suppose it's not essential.
I'm sure if you have it in Icelandic, maybe it...
This is true.
You know, maybe it sounds like everything they say... Because you're clinching on the jungle, you know, like it's that kind of melody to it.
Word stuff makes my head hurt, put it that way. Because
word stuff makes my head hurt.
No, it does, man, because it's kind of unrelated, but I kind of wonder how they do it. So in obviously Pokemon, right? Huge in America, huge in a bunch of English speaking places, and huge in Japan. But a lot of the name translations are English. Like, they wouldn't apply to Japanese, if you get me, because they're like, like, they're word plays. So I just don't know how to do that. I wonder if they just have writers to do separate things.
Yeah.
So I suppose with the same with poems and things, it's just some of it can get lost in translation or has to be totally readapted.
You need somebody like Tolkien to translate it, you know, where he would do a very artful kind of version.
Mm-hmm. It was Japanese, like our friend tried to tell us what Viz comics mean and like the English rhyming slang that we don't understand, like
like Cockney slang.
Well, like Giles and Piles and like having to know that you have to do all these like these huge leaps in the language to even understand why they're funny.
That is something that can get lost across, just even English-speaking places as well, where it's like there's certain ways of wording things that just goes over the heads for certain people,
Are we talking about like the apples and pears for the stairs? That kind of thing with the Cockney rhyme?
Maybe that's where it's based in, but I remember him telling us like there was a poem about like Farmer Giles or something like that, and he's like, well, that's like a rhyming thing talking about piles, which is hemorrhoids, which is so you have to know like that Farmer Giles was
right, which I believe is a Tolkien thing, but they would call hemorrhoids farmers, but it came from Farmer Giles, which rhymes with piles.
Well, that's almost like, that sounds like kind of wartime code speak almost, that does, right? It's like completely different.
Don't they have, it wasn't used to be your head used to be bread or brown bread or something, but then it became loaf because loaf is related to bread, a loaf of bread. So the expression would be like, use your head would just be like, use your loaf. But it's so far because bread rhymes with head and a loaf makes bread. And I imagine just over time, like that's where it got to. But it can be really confusing. Certainly the first time you hear them, you're like, what? I don't get this.
When you're brown bread, you're dead.
When you're brown bread, you're dead as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Things like that. Yeah. No, it can be tricky for sure. It's like cultural context or something, isn't it? It's things you just pick up from being around people.
Even think of like the American way, the way in the last, I guess, 20 years, saying something was sick means it's good or bad means it's like, oh, that's so bad. And you're like, does that mean it's good? It's like, yeah, it's totally sick. You're like, I have no idea what's happening.
Radical. Radical is another one. Like we wouldn't really use rad or radical over here. Radical would just mean radical, like in the literal sense. You know?
I think we even had it to a small scale ourselves because one of our friends heard a guy on the back of a bus. He came up to him and he asked him for blem. And my mate was like, what's blem? He goes, you know, a bit of the old hash. Do you have any hash? And he was like, he's like, no. But then we all started calling
it blem. Yeah, that's
and real. So you'd be out with somebody like, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just looking for a bit of blem. And people would be like, what?
Yeah.
What is the etymology of that? Like, where does blem?
I can't even figure that. Someone else I know once referred to pornography as grumble. And I have no idea where that came from or what it means.
And it could be it could just be singular to that actual person.
Yeah
exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
It's like, no, my friend, my friend has like totally different like language altogether. Like, we won't get too vulgar, but there's a strange familiar's audience here. I don't want to upset. Just there's a lot of
Oh, you gotta tell him about Butsy. When I first heard that, I laughed for so long.
Instead of pussy, he says Butsy. And I'm like, what is Butsy? And like, he'll just use it in a matter of fact way. Like, and you're like, man, people don't know that you just make up words. It's like, you can't just go in with these made up words when you're talking to people. But yeah, there are people like that. And maybe they are the trailblazers of phrases and stuff.
We need these people.
Yeah. When I was in high school, my group of friends decided that we were going to fool our parents by calling weed duck. So we would call each other up, but we were so obvious about it. It was like, dude, are the ducks flying? We thought we were so clever. Our parents probably knew exactly what we were talking about.
Totally
right.
So before we get out of here, guys, what are your plans for Christmas? What are the Renners doing?
Eating,
yeah. Yes.
Nice.
We've really, all holidays have been just reduced to eating festivities.
Nice. And I was just chilling out at home, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just aren't going to any other family or anything like that. Just going to be a relaxed one.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
I'm sure Allison has this incredible night plan for me that she just hasn't revealed to me yet.
Which, in all of the years we've known each other, I've never done before. So
it's been building up to this one.
Right.
I just thought I'd wait a good 30 years into our friendship to...
we usually do board games, chill out,
food. Fun.
Yeah, board games are a good thing to play. So, probably do a little bit of that. Play some.
Yeah, we might do like a game with the kids. Sometimes we can get them bored enough to play a game with us.
Yeah, board games are underrated. They're making a comeback. You know, it's good to see. I love
a board game.
Yeah, so do I, man. They're one of those things that, especially with my age group, kind of fell out of favor, you know, and... Only recently, when we've had get-togethers, we started playing them, and like you're kind of like, these are really fun. We should do these more, you know? They're really good. And there's a really, like, nowadays with the internet and like crowdfunding and Patreon and things like that, there's like new board games popping up all the time with like type of scenario you can think of. Like, it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll definitely do that. Eamon, what are you doing for Christmas? You're down to Onelian Grove, which is your
Onelian. Yeah, we're going to burn ritual. The effigy of Moloch. down to the folks on Christmas Eve. I'd say we'll chill out, and then Christmas Day will be everyone making a big deal of my niece because she's so young. So we'll all be giving her presents. It was funny last year we were down there, and you know, myself, the girlfriend was down there, and we were all giving her presents. She's just getting present after present after present, like a conveyor belt. And then when the final present came, she just looked up and she was like, more. I want more. She didn't understand that, like, the presents would just stop eventually. She was only like 2, I guess, at the time. But yeah, it was very cute. And she knew sign language for more, like this way of hitting her hands together. She's like, more, more. And we were like, no, that's enough, honey. Stop. But yeah, so I think we'll make a big deal of her. Enjoy that she's doing that. Actually, shout out to my dad. Told me today, he sent me a very odd text message which said, buy Ireland's Own and go to page 57.
Okay.
Ireland's Own is this really, like, it's the most Irish magazine, like old school magazine you can buy here. So much so that, like, every page is just paper. You know, magazines usually have that sleek kind of glossy paper. This is like really old school kind of paper. But he got a poem in it on page 57, and it's about him and my niece going around looking in the windows at Christmas. So it's very wholesome. Nice.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. That's nice. Great.
Very that's cool. Awesome. I must buy that. A copy for myself. I'll definitely go.
Yeah, I have it up here because he sent it to me. Go to page 57, and they always have these spreads about obscure Irish things. Mm-hmm. And this one was about Peter Riley, who must be some old musician from here. And I was like, oh, Dad, I didn't know, you know, I liked Peter Riley so much. Thanks for shouting me out about that. But yeah, he just had a bit on the side. But it was very, very cool to see the poem there. So, and it's nice that it's about my niece as well. So I'm sure she'll get a bit of enjoyment out of it when she's a bit older.
All right, folks. Will we get out of here? We hightail it.
Sounds like a plan.
Have a good shortest day tomorrow.
Yeah, you too. Enjoy the old winter solstice, folks.
Yeah.
You know?
Anything could happen.
And as well, have a Merry Christmas.
A wonderful Christmas.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we'll talk to you in the new year. Happy 2023.
Absolutely. Many happy returns.
As well. All the best.
All right, Chad, what's going on at Ruck Rabbit Outdoors for the winter?
Well, we just recently had our knife sale, which is now done. We had 2 really nice new axes put on the site and some new wool coats. And I have some special, very, very limited edition new things coming. I actually have 4 specially made Woolrich blankets. They're in the brown and red Ruck Rabbit colors. And they even have a little nice embroidered Ruck Rabbit label on the one corner. And they're queen-sized. And they're very thick. Made in Canada, especially for us. And they're very beautiful. They will be hitting the site probably, I'd say either before the new year or definitely after the new year. And they're very limited edition. Just 4 of them. They're much cheaper than, like, say, a Woolrich or Pendleton or any other brand Hudson Bay blanket, and just a stick for their size. So, and they're that nice queen size that a lot of woodsmen like, to so they can wrap around themselves and keep them warm on these cold winter nights like we're literally standing in right now.
Yeah.
They're really awesome. Really awesome. I ordered 5. Of course, I kept one for myself.
Sweet.
And these 4, like I said, there's no other 4 like them in the world, and they'll be on there, and they're going to be about $225, which seems like a lot, but the same size Hudson Bay blanket is almost $500. So, yeah, very, very limited. I don't know if we'll ever make them again, because it took a long time to have them done. COVID really put a cramp on that. We'll see. I mean, if they move, we might make more, but they won't be in this color.
All right.
They definitely won't be in this color. So this is a getting while we got them thing.
Etsy shop name, Ruck Rabbit Outdoors.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Well, we're going to explore pandemonium. And like I said, if anything happens worth reporting, you guys will hear it on the show.
Yep.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yep.
For those who celebrate, happy holidays.
Yep.
Whatever winter holiday you celebrate, if you don't celebrate Christmas.
And have a great solstice. You know, we are right now, even though we're freezing.
That's right. And I'll be back soon with more Strange Familiars.
Strange Familiars is a production of Dark Holler Arts, music, books, art, podcasts, and more. Intro and background music is by Stone Breath. If you want to hear more or purchase music by Stone Breath, you can go to stonebreath.bandcamp.com. Strange Familiars is on Facebook, facebook.com/strangefamiliars, where you can join the Strange Familiars gathering group. We're on Instagram at Strange Familiars, and you can always find us on the web at strangefamiliars.com.
How to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.